Tell me of God's love one more time and one more time, every chance we get. Amen? Amen. Appreciate it. That was a good special, very well done. I want you to open your Bibles now to the book of Genesis. Shouldn't have much trouble finding that, I hope. Book of Genesis, chapter 37. I'm going to be using for the message today a well-known story. Hope it's well-known to you, because I cannot covered this two-hour message in 30 minutes if you don't already have a head start on me. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about previewing the picture. How many of you remember before the days of television? Raise your hand if you do. Thank God for some intelligent folk out here. That's back when you had to think for yourself. Amen. All right, good. But you also remember most every little town had a little theater house in it, didn't it? And most of us on Saturday, if we could get up 10 or 15 cent, went to see the shoot 'em ups. The B-Westerns, I guess we'd call them. But, the good guys always won. You didn't have any sympathy much for the bad man. Remember those days? I worry about the kids today watching all the Star Wars junk and all the robots killing each other and parts flying everywhere like a junkyard. I told my grandson, I flipped over on the Western Channel and I found an old black and white cowboy movie, and he was in the other room watching some of that exploding robots. And I said to him, I said, come in here and watch the cowboy movie with me. He said, oh, Grandpa, he said, when they get shot, they don't even bleed. Made me feel kind of ancient. Amen. Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to read a number of verses, but the story comes from a number of chapters right here. I want to just say this. A lot of folks know some common facts about the general truths that come from the Bible. Most folks know that God is the creator. You know, they've taught evolution all these generations in school, and yet the stats show more people believe in God as the creator. Thank God for that. Most folks know a little something about the garden, how that Adam and Eve brought in a sin. And hey, by the way, we're still seeing the results of that sin. Man's nature is depraved. Now, I have nothing good to say about the butcher that was killed this week, Gaddafi. But at the same time, if you want to see the depravity of man, look how they handled him. Don't tell me there's not a difference in what you believe, brother. They were just singing about the love of God. I mean, the gospel in Christ deals with love. You got some other religions that deal with hate and killing. You see the difference of it when you take a look. But I say a lot of folks know something in general about the Bible. They know that Christ was born, and they get a little bit of that at Christmas time, if no other time. They know a little bit about the cross, that maybe he died on the cross. Some may even know that he is coming back. Or they've heard something about the rumor of the end of the world. That always gets folks' attention. Don't you notice that? They'll listen to that. So they know some general things. But I want to say this. The Bible stands alone when it speaks literally. And yet all the way through, that literal, clear teaching is also backed up with types and antitypes and with pictures and with illustrations, and no man can put a book together like that. Now, I mean, Ephesians 2 talks about it being fitly framed together in Christ, and that's what it is. And as I look here, I'm pulling out an Old Testament story that causes it all to come together, and realize that whoever wrote this book knew the beginning and the end. He knew it all the way. And yet over maybe writing of 1,600 years and many different authors, yet you see it fitly framed together to teach the same truth all the way through. I'm taking up with the story here now of Joseph. I'm picking up in Genesis chapter 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Mark that. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat in many colors. Every little Sunday school kid can talk about that. By the way, that coat spoke of something special. Something special with the father. And then it says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brother envied him. But his father observed the saying. I want to deal with the story here of Joseph and show you how it is foretold in picture and in type. To begin with, one of the things it pictures is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you use the word second coming, the girls were singing about it a while ago. When you use the word second coming, that presupposes a first coming. That's not too profound, is it? That he came first before he could come second. Now, say, how did he come? Well, we understand that he was born of a Jewish virgin by the name of Mary. We understood how God, his Holy Spirit overshadowed her, how God prepared him a body on this earth. We understand a little bit about that. We understand that it was pictured also in the Old Testament in what we call the Passover lamb, remember? That God would send his lamb. John the Baptist one day saw the Lord Jesus coming, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And they should have been looking for him because it was pictured ahead that he would come, and yet they were not ready and they rejected him. John 1:11, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Now we see in the story of Joseph, though, a picture of both comings. The first coming and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I deal with the story of Joseph a little bit this morning, we notice that he is rejected here in the text that we read. His brethren got mad. They rejected him. He's rejected by his brothers. Do you understand that Jesus come in the lineage and in the heritage of the Jews? Do you understand it was his Jewish brethren that said, away with him, we're crucified, we'll not have this man reign over us? Do you understand he was rejected by his brethren? Do you see the picture here? 4,000, almost 4,000, no I'm wrong, over 2,000 years before it happened, it's already pictured here in the story of Joseph. Then he'd come to his brethren, and his brethren would reject him. They sold him down into Egypt. You know the story, how he wound up being put in a pit. How the Ishmaelites, and by the way, the same Ishmaelite crowd today that's giving Israel trouble was involved as far back as then. And the Ishmaelites came by, and these brethren sold him down into Egypt and took the coat of many colors and stained it with animal blood and took it back to Jacob and broke his heart that Joseph was dead. Remember the story? And rejected by his brethren, sold down into Egypt. And we see a few comparisons I want to use, and I'm going to use some that are not necessarily always spoken of, but if we could preach 3 hours, we might could cover the story when it comes to all the comparisons and all the types. 100 perhaps you could number. But I want you to notice to begin with concerning Joseph, comparing him to the Lord Jesus Christ, that Joseph had two names when you go through the story. Remember that the word Joseph means adder, like you add two and two to get four, old math. Anyway, his name means addition or adding. But he had another name that was given to him by Pharaoh, an Egyptian name that none of us in here probably could correctly pronounce, but it meant the revealer of secrets. And of course, you remember that's what Joseph did when he was raised to the throne of Pharaoh. So as Joseph had two names, Jesus had two names. Remember when he came to earth? By the way, the word Jesus is the earthly name. The name Christ, the anointed one, is talking about the Messiah. But more than that, Jesus was called what? The Son of Man and the Son of God. Do you understand he had to be both? Do you know he had to have victory as the Son of Man, as well as victory as the Son of God? And as we look at Joseph, Joseph had two names. One of them in addition or adding. Do you understand that the first Adam in the garden was a subtractor? We lost in Adam. Sin come into the world, and death by sin through the first Adam in the garden. That was a subtraction. We lost the garden. I think about the little story that was told in Sunday school. It said that after Adam and Eve was expelled from the garden, and they had little Cain and Abel by the hand, and they had a cherubim there with a flaming sword, and they couldn't get back into the garden, and they were kind of looking over the fence, as it was one day, at the home they lost. And Adam looked down at Abel and he said, "Son," said, "right yonder under that tree is where your mother ate us out of house and home." Now we joke about that a little bit, but we fell in Adam. We lost in Adam. We had subtraction take place in Adam, but thank God the second Adam brought addition. And Joseph's name, Adam. You know, more souls in heaven, more souls saved, sins forgiven, because the second Adam come, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our addition. In him, brother, we are winners. In him, we're in the plus column. In him, brother, we got out of the red as far as the negative part, and we got into the black. We're in the plus column with the Lord Jesus Christ. The story of Joseph makes a comparison here. Yeah, he had two names. And I want you to notice the revealer of secrets. Pick it up in verse 2 of the text that we read here. It says that he was out here. And by the way, Joseph had a different mother than these other brethren. You know that, don't you? You remember the story. And Joseph is a younger boy now. He's 17 years old. He goes out to visit them, and he hears what they're saying. And he comes back and he tells his father, it says, their evil report. You ever notice how human nature is? They'll talk behind your back. Have you ever noticed how the workers on the job will criticize the boss until he gets there and then they want to polish his shoes? Have you ever noticed that? That's human nature with all of us. I've seen guys when I'd be a young man out there digging a ditch with them, about half of them standing on a shovel, not doing their part, and then the boss pulls up and they want to grab my shovel and go to work. You've probably never seen that, but I did. I'm simply saying to you, they were talking bad about Jacob. They were talking bad about their dad. And Joseph was loyal to his dad, and he came and he gave the evil report. And you find out that fits into part of his name as the revealer of secrets. He was revealing the evil. Jesus Christ is a revealer of evil. Jesus Christ stands against that was wrong. And you notice how these boys hated Joseph for it. Jesus is hated today because he stands for what is right. If you notice down in verse 8 of the text that we read, his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" We know that ultimately happened and will happen. "Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" We know that's future. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams, number one. Number two, for his words. You see that? Words are important. That's why the right Bible is important. And as we look around today, we see here the same thing. They hated him for his words. Now, the Bible tells us why that's so. Jesus himself said in John chapter 3, around verse 19, he said, "And this is the condemnation that's come into the world, that light has come into the world, and men love what? Darkness more than light." You know why Jesus is hated today? He's the light. You know why he's hated today? His words condemn evil. You know why people get mad at him today and they don't want to, and by the way, it's increasing and increasing. Every week I hear of another classroom where a student's been expelled over the name of Jesus. Just this week, I read one where the class was discussing the issue concerning how that religions might affect your philosophy. And a student was overheard to say, not to the teacher, but to another student, he was overheard to say, "I'm a Christian, therefore I don't believe in gay marriage." Got expelled. Got expelled, even though that should have been in the context. And right here in Florida, we had a teacher that on his Facebook page, on his own time, spoke up against gay marriage and lost his job. By the way, a good Christian lawyer came to his rescue and he's been reinstated. So that part's good. But I'm simply saying the words that Jesus Christ speaks, the word of God, is hated today. Read of another teacher that is under threat of losing his job because in his classroom he put up the national motto, "In God We Trust." I mean, are they going to check his billfold to see if he has a dollar bill in there? Huh? This is crazy. This is crazy. In the other classrooms on that same school property have up mottos concerning false gods. Have a picture of the Dalai Lama. That's a false religion. And some others like that. Hey, what's the matter? Jesus is hated for his words. Jesus is hated because he reveals evil. That's what it amounts to. And you see the topology here. You see the picture. You see the picture. And they hated Jesus because they hated him today because of his double sovereignty. I said two names, but I'm saying to you, Joseph here had two dreams. One, he dreamed about something that happened in the field. And if you don't know what a sheave is, you ought to understand the long strands of hay wrapped together in a bundle. And Joseph was saying, I saw my sheaf and the rest of your sheaves was bound down to me. That was out in the field. That was one dream. But then he had another dream, and that dream was that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars was also making obeisance to him. He had two dreams. I ought to say to you, the world don't like it, but Jesus Christ is God Almighty. He is King of eternity as well as King on earth, and he just hadn't taken his position yet, but he is. He is a double sovereign, brother. He rules up there, and one day he's going to rule down here. And you see that in the double dream here of Joseph. Now, I understand somebody said, well, the field. Well, he went out to his Jewish brethren, but in a general sense, the field is the world. In a great sense, it is. And the wonderful truth here is that Jesus is going to rule. Psalms 2 says that God's going to set him on Zion's hill. The heathen can rage. They can try to break his strings away, that psalm says. But in the end, God's going to laugh at them and set his king. Who's his king? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be set on Zion's hill. Oh, yeah. Joseph was sent on a mission by the Father. The mission sent him out to the field. He went out to help his brethren. He went out with their welfare in mind. When Jesus came to planet Earth, he came as the Jewish Messiah that had been predicted. He had the welfare of the brethren in mind, but he was rejected. They didn't accept him, just like the brethren here of Joseph. They rejected him. They even abused him. Can you imagine brothers throwing a little brother in a pit in the ground? Can you imagine the cries? Can you imagine as he was sold into slavery and sent away? Now, if you read this passage closely, you'll discover that they thought he was dead after all those years. I'll tell you something. They said, "Away, crucify him. We'll not have this man reign over us." And many think he died, but you and I know the truth. We heard in Sunday school this morning, he arose, brother. he arose. And I want to say this to you. 13 years went by from the time he was 17 years old. You'll read closely, you'll find out he was 30 years old when he was raised. I said raised to the throne of Pharaoh. You know what he became to the Egyptian? In a sense, he was a risen Savior to them. He became a Savior of the Gentiles in the time that his brethren thought he was dead. Thought he was gone. Thought they'd never see him again. But he became a Savior to the Gentiles. You know the story. How he was raised out of the dungeon. How the butler and the baker had a dream. How Joseph was in the right place to interpret how the butler would live and how the baker would die. Remember that? Well, then when the butler later on before Pharaoh remembered Joseph. And the Pharaoh had a dream. He had a dream concerning the lean kine and the fat kine and the corn ears. Remember the dreams that he had? And he was puzzled by them. He wanted an interpretation. And the butler remembered there was a man I was in prison with that interpreted my dream. And they brought Joseph out. And Joseph told how the lean kine and the fat kine would be plenty for 7 years. Then there would be a famine for 7 years. You remember how Joseph brought the plan to Pharaoh and how they stored up 7 years and gained everything that they could endure the famine for 7 years. And by the way, you preachers and you teachers and Sunday school teachers and college students, you ought to watch types like that. When you're dealing with that number seven, especially watch it. And the truth of the matter is, there's coming a 7 year famine for the Jewish nation on this earth, a time of Jacob's trouble. You're going to find out that exactly as was portrayed in the story here of Joseph, this thing fits all the way through. And you find that he was restored to the right hand of Pharaoh at the throne. He became a Savior to the Gentiles, and there was a 7 year famine that was on the way. And during that time, Joseph received, listen close, a Gentile bride. Remember the daughter of the priest? Remember the one Pharaoh gave him there, the Gentile? I want to say something to you. Jesus Christ today is calling out a bride. All those that are getting saved today, one day they're going to hear the trumpet. One day they're going to be called to meet the bridegroom in the air. And the truth of the matter is, we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb one of these days. And right now, the Gentile bride is being prepared. And as those girls sang a while ago, Jesus is coming soon. Morning, night, or noon, brother. He is coming. He is coming. He's coming back for the one that the blood-bought bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Joseph received a Gentile bride. I'm going to say it was a wonderful story when you go through it. If you go through this thing, it is amazing how the typology and how we could not dare to even begin to touch on all of it. But I see also the recognition of Joseph when they finally recognized him. What a story that is that you ought to read. See, when he first stood before them, he knew them, but they didn't know him. Look at it in chapter 42 real quick. Just turn over to chapter 42. Look at verse 8. And it says here, Joseph saw his brethren in verse 7, but he made himself strange unto them. And look at it in verse 8. Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Do you see the picture? He came unto his own received him not. He came to Israel. He was rejected. They thought he's gone, he's dead, we'll never see him again. And it says, Joseph knew them, but they didn't know him. Look at it in verse 9. Joseph remembered the dream which he dreamed of them. And he said unto them, now he tests them. He talks roughly to them here. He seems to be mean to them. I want to say during this time of exile, during this time that blindness in part has come to Israel, according to the book of Romans 11, during this time, it looks like that Jesus Christ is being rough on Israel. It looks like, and I want to say this, I love the Jews and love Israel, but this mistake has cost them down through history. Cost them big. I mean, there's been all kind of things. There's been the Spanish Inquisition. There's been Hitler's Holocaust. There's been all of that bad stuff. And we say, where's Jesus? He was rejected. He was turned away. And all the pain has been great. And I'm in great sympathy with that. But at the same time, when he first stood before them, he knew them. They didn't know him. And you say, how did Joseph handle that? Well, if you look back, let me go back to chapter 42 again. And pick it up with me. Oh, let's pick it up in verse 22. And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you?" Now they were beginning to think back what they did to Joseph. "Saying, do not sin against the child, and you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." You want to know what's been going on in history? At the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, Pilate tried to wash his hands. I preached on that not long ago. And the crowd said, and the leadership of the religious crowd of Judaism said, "His blood be on us and upon our children." And here you got one of the brethren saying here, Reuben saying, "Behold, also his blood is required." Don't you understand in their minds the video was playing about what they'd done to the younger brother? I mean, folks, if you got any sense at all, when bad things start happening to you, you can't help but say, "Lord, what did I do for this?" Oh, listen, it rains on the just and the unjust alike, but it's a wise man that looks and says, "Is God whipping me? Am I being chastened of the Lord?" Then he turned himself about, as we look back here at the story of Joseph in chapter 42. It says, and they knew not, Joseph is listening. And they knew not Joseph understood them. They didn't think that he could understand their Hebrew, but he certainly could. And it says that Joseph understood them. I want to say to you today, the Lord Jesus Christ understands. Amen. Oh yes, he understands the whole picture. It says, "For he spake unto them by an interpreter." Look at verse 24. "And he," talking about Joseph, "turned himself about from them and wept." Oh yes, does the Lord Jesus feel compassion today for the Jewish people? He certainly does. You look at Matthew 23, after he'd been rejected, Palm Sunday's come and gone. He's been rejected. He goes up on the mount overlooking Jerusalem. He looks down and he laments. I believe he wept when he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how often I have gathered thee together as a hen doth her chicks, and ye would not." He went on to say, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, until you say, behold, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Hey, that's yet future, but it's getting closer. It's getting closer. Oh yes, Joseph turned about and wept. He felt their pain. He, in the truest sense, he wept over what they had done. Oh yes, he knew them, but they didn't know him, and he wept over them. If you read the story close, you'll find out that he took these boys and he put them in ward. He put them in jail. He accused them of spies. He knew they were not spies. He knew who they were, but he was bringing them to a time they would confess to him their sin. And that's exactly what's happening today. There's coming a time when the nation of Israel nationally is going to come and face the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns in glory. And they're going to say, "Where'd you get the wounds in your hands and in your side?" And he's going to say, "I was wounded in the house of my friends." Read it in Zechariah. The truth of the matter is, they are getting closer under pressure now than ever before. And there's only one person going to save them. And that is going to be the Joseph coming back from heaven. Coming back in power and great glory. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, coming back. Oh, listen, the climax now is reaching an end in Israel today. You heard this week they just let go of 1,000 terrorists out of their jails. For one soldier. You say, is that right? Well, I got great sympathy for the one soldier that's been there years and been abused, but that was not exactly the reason they released 1,000 prisoners. The White House in America behind that put the pressure on that. And do you know what they were chanting in the streets when they let the soldier come out? You know, when the part of the 1,000 prisoners plus prisoners, terrorists. You know what the Arab crowd was chanting when they released that soldier for 1,000 prisoners, you know what they were chanting? They were saying, get us another soldier. See, Israel has made one concession after the other. She has nothing else to give. And yet they're not satisfied. And the truth is, the pressure's on. The truth is that they've been shut up, as it were, in jail, in ward. How long does it say in the text? It says 3 days. 3 days they were shut up. You know what Joseph said in chapter 42? Pick it up with me in chapter 42, and let's look about verse 17, 18. Chapter 42. He put them all together into ward. 3 days. How long? 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, watch this, this do and live, for our fear God. When are they going to live? In the third day. When they do what? Well, if you wanted to go over to the book of Hosea, I can show you exactly what they're going to do. Hold your place here. Flip over to Hosea. I know that's a little bit harder to find, but I'd like for you to go to chapter 5 and 6 of the book of Hosea. If you didn't find it, listen to me. Get to Daniel and go right, pick up Hosea. But in Hosea chapters 5 and 6, verse 15 of chapter 5 of Hosea, I will go and return to my place. Who? The Lord Jesus is talking here through the prophet. I will go and return to my place. How long, Lord? Here it is. Till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Now watch the next statement. In their affliction, they will seek me early. Hey, they're in their affliction right now. They've been in it for 2,000 plus years, but they're great in it now. Tribulation period is going to come, and it's going to increase. It could come today if Jesus came for those that were saved. He caught his bride away today. The tribulation period could break out the next day. I'm not saying that's the timetable. I'm saying it could. But watch in chapter 6 now of Hosea. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. Joseph spoke to him roughly, but he was heading for their healing. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. What's the timetable? Here it is. Verse 2. After 2 days, he will receive us. In the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. Amen. Do you understand the picture? Do you understand the typology? Do you understand those boys was put in jail? But Joseph came to him on the third day. He said, do this and live. Do this and live. Jesus is coming back. They're going to live. He's coming back in the third day. I think we've already probably, according to our calendar, we've started the third day. If 1,000 years is one day and one day is 1,000 years, as the scripture says, we've already started the third day. We've been counting now. We've got 11 years into it. I'm not saying it's just right, but it's close. It's close. And as I look back here, I see Israel in ward for 3 days. Right now the pressure's on them. Joseph spoke in the third day to them, this do and live. And he revealed himself the second time to them. Stephen's preaching in Acts chapter 7. He gets stoned for his preaching. I may have had some folks one day that would like to, but I've never preached a sermon yet bad enough to get stoned. But Stephen did. Stephen recanted all I'm telling you about. He went all the way back from Abraham and coming all the way through. And as he did that, they didn't like it. They gnashed on him and they stoned him. But you know what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7? He said, Joseph revealed himself the second time. The second time. Or they come before him. They wanted corn to take back to dad. They wanted to take back because the famine was heavy. And they faced Joseph the first time and they didn't recognize him. He recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. But the second time. They come the second time. You remember the story, how they had to bring Benjamin with them. And you know what? To read all of that over in Genesis chapter 45 is something. I mean, you have in chapter 44, you have Judah coming near unto Joseph. He doesn't know who he is, but he's begging and pleading to not keep Benjamin. It'll kill my dad if I go home and the lad is not with me. And he was pleading, and you read the confession all the way through. It breaks your heart to read and to realize that Judah here is taking the place of Israel. Israel confessing her sin that Hosea talked about. They'll confess their offense in their affliction. They'll confess it early. And Judah is saying, he's telling the whole story, what they did to Joseph, how they sold him down into slavery. He's saying, now if my dad loses the youngest one, he's already lost Joseph. And if he loses Benjamin, I can't go home and face dad. And he's confessing his sin all the way here through chapter 44. Verse 34 of chapter 44, for how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. Look at chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Oh, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be when Jesus Christ comes back and they confess the sin of rejection and what they done, and they get right with their Messiah. They get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, Joseph sent them all out. He said, don't need any help from nobody. Don't need any witness from nobody. This is personal between me and my brethren. And Jesus is coming back for a personal confrontation between he and his brethren. Look on, verse 2. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard. They hadn't gone so far, but what they could hear Joseph. Man they had great respect for. Man that had saved them economically from the famine. And they hear him weeping. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me. Oh man, I don't know. I expect to be in heaven maybe 7 years before this takes place. But I hope God lets me. I hope I can look over the banister of heaven, as it were, and see this scene when a family makes up like this through all the years, through all the pain, and Jesus reveals himself. Amen. To his brethren, to his people. Revealed himself for the second time, Stephen said in Acts 7. Oh, this chapter is full of sadness. Judah confessing his sin, but all how it ends in joy as they recognize Joseph. It pictures Israel one day recognizing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I say to you, you also need to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know who he was. Right now, while Israel has been in exile, Jesus has been calling out a bride, a Gentile bride, basically. While the Jews have been in blindness, you and I are reaping the sweetness and the blessing and the joy of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How that he shed his blood and died for us. And oh yes, no reason for you to hide your face from him. No reason for you to not recognize him. He's the one that loved you and died for you and paid for your sins on the cross. Hey, listen, God reveals even in the picture story of Joseph how it's all going to turn out. How the victory in the end is going to come, and the reconciliation between Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, and his people. But right now, you and I need to be reconciled to God, and the only way we can is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, their rejection has been our blessing that we could know him as our Savior. I say to you, the world's wrapping up, the pressure's on. There's no answers. You watch your TV every day. It's blood in the streets somewhere. But the truth of the matter is, in Jesus Christ, we got the victory in the end. Amen.
Do you know him? Is he your Savior? If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Oh, my friend, all you need to do is recognize you're a sinner. Recognize Jesus as a Savior. He paid for you out of his great love to die in your place. You can have him today as Lord and Savior. If you'll receive him, he'll receive you. He's about to come the second time back to Israel. He came the first time. He was rejected. He's coming the second time. They're going to recognize him right now. Might be your first time today. Recognize him right now. Don't leave this building without letting him be your Savior this morning. I do ask that you let him into your heart today.